If you have your Bibles, you can follow along on page 1065. Now, this passage contains the best known verse in the whole of the Bible. John chapter 3 and verse 16. I have seen that at every World Cup final nearly that there has been. I've seen it at the All-Ireland Gaelic final. I have seen it at the Irish Cup final. Some boy standing behind the goalposts. John 3:16. And they had it at every World Cup. I can remember, was it Euros at Italy? Or the World Cup in Italy? I don't even remember. But I remember the main commentator, and he says, we've had a few people ringing in that want to know what John 3:16 is. This is an RTE live commentary. And he says, this is what it is, and he read it out from the Bible. Amazing thing. I've seen it everywhere. I've seen it hammered on the trees in bits of wood. I've seen it in car bumpers. I've seen it with people in their T-shirts, little badges as well. I've seen it lots of places, but this is going to show it to you in context. Where it actually comes from. Why did Jesus actually say it? And what does it actually mean? And what you're going to see here is that it's said in context to a fella who's really religious. The guy that Jesus is speaking to this day is zealously religious. He goes to church every day. He prays every day. He reads the scriptures every day. He teaches the Bible every day. He has been to theological school. He's been schooled all of his life. And yet he still knows in his heart of hearts there's something missing. Like all religion can never guarantee you heaven. Doesn't matter what the religion is. Christianity is the only religion that can say to you, the only belief that can say to you, that you can know you're going to heaven. Let me read you what John writes in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. How many times have I been to hospital to visit people who are dying? And I said, listen, do you know you're going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I hope I am. And what people are doing, people rely on two crosses. They are either relying on this cross here, I hope so, or they're relying on that cross there. And I can tell you, this hope so one gets nobody to heaven. And this is the hope so of religion. What it says is, I hope I've done enough. I hope I've been decent enough. I hope I've been a good enough husband or wife or son or father or mother. I hope I've done my job well enough. I hope that I've been to church enough times. I hope I've prayed enough and read the Bible enough or been decent enough. And it'll all outweigh my bad. But the problem is, I don't know how much sin weighs. I don't know how much my goodness weighs. And therefore, I'm dying hoping. If that's the sort of hope you have, it will not get you to heaven. And so, we meet this guy here. Nicodemus is his name. Who is extremely religious in John chapter 3. And he comes, what time of day does he come at there in verse 2? Night. Why would you do things at night? They've no streetlights, they've no anything else. What's his motivation for coming at night? He doesn't want anybody to see him. He comes sneaking in because his friends do not get along with Jesus. His friends know that Jesus is from God, but he doesn't want to be known as a follower of God. And you might see this all the time. I start talking to somebody about the things of God, about the Bible, and they're happy enough chatting away. And then somebody else comes along. And the conversation swiftly finished. Because they're happy enough to talk to you about those things, but they don't want other people to know that they would be thinking about such things. They don't want to know, or if you're running something, people come at night because they don't want to be seen. Don't be known as somebody who's thinking about God, thinking about death, thinking about what happens to you after you die. And yet, folks, I can tell you something, that they are the most important questions that any of you will ever deal with. To get an answer to those things, it really is the most important thing. So this guy comes at night because he's afraid of his friends and other people. And it also means coming, if other people see him coming and asking Jesus, it means that he hasn't got it all together. He's admitting and saying, listen, I haven't got this all together, Jesus. What do I need to do? What more is there to this than what I have? And he doesn't want to admit that either. And so what happens is Jesus says to him, listen, Nicodemus, verse 3, he replied, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Now, if you don't see the kingdom of God, you most certainly aren't getting into it. Okay? So if you cannot see the kingdom of God, you're not getting in. And Jesus says, unless you are born again, You can't even see the kingdom of God, never mind in it, end up in it. So what we need to find out is what this born again thing is. Because you and I need to be born again. Jesus says, if we're going to get into the kingdom of God, if we're going to get into heaven, we need this born again thing. So we need to source out what it is. Now, what happens is Nicodemus takes everything quite literal. Jesus says you need to be born again, and Nicodemus comes back and says, how can a man be born when he's old? Surely he can't enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Go and have a look at Lisa there and see what a 9-pound baby looks like in somebody's belly. And imagine what a 13.5-stone man, my mum's called Pat, she's 5'4". And you can imagine me, so God's telling me if I want to get to heaven, I have to be born again. And you're expecting me to go in here, you know, to a wee woman, frail as she is, and to be born a second time. Jesus says, listen, take a look. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You've already had a fleshly birth. Every one of you who is here today has had a fleshly birth. A parent somewhere gave birth to each and every one of you. But what Jesus says is this born again thing is a spiritual birth. Every single person here needs a spiritual birth, is what Jesus is saying. You shouldn't be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And you'll see that again and again with people who are becoming Christians. There's no rhyme or reason to the people who come. People come from many backgrounds, from rich, from poor, from well-known, from unknown. How can this be, Nicodemus asked. Can you imagine, what are you talking about? I still don't understand. And so Jesus comes back the next time and he says to him, you're a teacher in Israel. You're teaching the Bible every day. You should know this. What are you teaching the people? You're a teacher in Israel and you don't know how to get to heaven. It's the blind truly leading the blind. I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How will you then believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Then we're getting to the bit that he starts to crack onto. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but will have eternal life. And you can imagine this grown man sitting going, well, listen, I don't get what you're saying up to now. But that story you're talking about, that snake and a stick, I get it. I get the story you're talking about. My ancestors left Egypt. They came up and they mucked up on the way up in the desert. They turned from God and for 40 years they had to wander around in the desert. And he said, well, God said, listen, I'll bring you to the promised land. And he brought them down along beside this country called Edom. And they were going to take a little shortcut across. And the king of Edom came out and said, you're not coming in here, lads. Take a shortcut through here and we'll kill every one of you. And so the people have to walk around this big, huge peninsula all the way round. And as they walk along, everybody's groaning and mumbling. What? You know, we've no water out in this desert. We've no bread. And God was really good to them. He gave them manna every morning to eat. And they said, that stinking food that God gives us, we don't want it anymore. And they started to complain against God and they complained against Moses. We'd be far better off back where we were. And then all of a sudden, these things started to appear. There they were, in shoes, sandals, bins, everywhere. Anybody touching stuff, and they started to get bitten by a venomous snake, you're dead. And all of a sudden, children are dying. Grandparents are dying. Parents are dying. There are corpses lying out in the sunshine. People run out and they say, well, listen, how could this all go wrong? Everything was going fine for us up until the point of we started to complain against God. So they're quick enough to put it back together again that this is something from God. And they take it back to God and they go to Moses and say, Moses, will you pray to God and make these things go away? And God answers the prayer and he says, well, I'll tell you what, they're not going away. They'll stay. But what I'll do is I'll give you a cure for your pain, for your sin, for your wrongdoing. There's a snake and a stick, and if you come out and look at that snake and a stick, you will have physical health. You might still be bitten, you might still be sore, you might still be poisoned, but you will live. And then he turns to Nicodemus and says, listen, the same way the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, that whoever puts their trust in him will have eternal life. And so you've got Moses caught between two sticks, a snake in one stick, and a Son of Man stuck on another stick, which he has no comprehension of what that's about. He has no comprehension. A man on a stick. The Son of Man on a stick. And you can imagine him leaving there that night, saying, listen, I get eternal life from the Son of Man on a stick. He lives out his life, and he goes about his life, until one day, a few years later, his friends get together, who he was afraid of knowing that he was there, and they take Jesus and they nail him onto a stick, and they put him up outside Jerusalem. There were two men who came to retrieve the body that day. Joseph of Arimathea. Someone else. Nicodemus. He saw the Son of Man put on the cross. He learned after that that he rose from the dead. And I believe that Nicodemus came to know what Jesus was saying. This was for healing of the body. This is for the healing of your soul. The only way for you to be right and that they would live through the poisonous snakes was the snake and a stick. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus and his death on the cross. I want you to imagine the stupidity, folks, of somebody sitting in that camp that day, bitten by a snake, and they know they've been bitten by a snake, and they know the snake's poisonous. And they say, well, do you know what? I don't believe in all that snake and a stick rubbish. What a load of nonsense. There is nothing scientifically that medically could put something between a brass stick and a snake and between me being healed. It's nonsense. What would happen to that person? They're dead. They died because they wouldn't put their faith to look in the snake. Every day you will meet people, I don't believe about Jesus and all that nonsense. Somebody 2,000 years ago has something to do with an airy fairy soul pie in the sky when you die. By faith, people were healed looking at this. By faith, you will go to heaven trusting in nothing but that. What about somebody sitting down who says, well, you know what, there's no actual, I don't believe in poison. I don't believe it's actually harmful for you. I don't think it could do you any harm. You can't actually see it. You know, I know the thing bites me, but you can't actually see anything. You know, there's people there that don't know about sin, don't know its effects. If I say to you, I don't believe in poison, I don't believe it'll do me any harm, give it 5 or 6 hours. So it's a very sad way to find out about it. A very, very sad way to find out about it. You'll go and you'll find the corpse. And for those that don't believe in sin or don't believe in an afterlife, don't believe, leave it 70, 80 years. And the very sad fact is that you will go and find a soul that is lost forever, out of God's presence for all time. Then you get another category of people who say, listen, you know, I really do believe all that snake and the stick stuff. And, you know, I have been bitten. I know I have. But you have no idea how hectic my life is. Mad at the minute. You know, I have to go over. I have got stuff at the other side of the camp this morning. I have to leave the kids off at camp school over there. I need to get back over here for camp work over here and the bits that I do over here. And then I need to get back over there for this. And I need to pick the kids up at camp school later on. I need to get back from that. My life's mad at the minute. I haven't time for going round to find out this snake and a stick thing. But you know something? I know I've been bitten and I know I've got a serious problem. But there is going to be a day when I'll go in and I'll have a look at that snake and a stick. I will get this sorted out. You'll find that person dead somewhere lying on the way to camp school or camp work or wherever it is that they're going. And it's exactly the same today. People say, listen, do you know I know that Jesus is the only solution. I know that Jesus is the cure for my sin. And do you know something? I intend to fully sign up. I fully intend to become a Christian at some stage. But you know what? Not at the minute. I'll do it when I retire. I'll do it when I get finished school. I'll do it when the children are a little bigger. I'll do it whenever I've just got a little bit more time to think about it. That's when I'll become a follower of Jesus Christ. An old saying says, many people who plan to come to Jesus at the 11th hour die at 10:45. That's the truth. People who could have looked and yet just too busy to see. What if you asked the question, somebody came out and you were bitten? I want you to think, you're outside the tent camp. You come into the camp and you find somebody in a tent and they've been bitten. And this person is lying in their bed, they're sweating, the poison's starting to take hold. And they say to you and say, listen, Owen, I don't know if I could really trust the snake in a stick. Will it really work for me? Will the snake in a stick really save me? Will the snake really change my life and make me better? What would you say to that person? Try it. Get off your backside, get out of the tent, and go and try it. Have a juke. Go out and look at it. See. And that's exactly the same with the gospel. I don't know if this Christianity thing will work for me. I don't know if it'll actually change how I think. I don't know if it'll change my life. I don't know if it'll break into the habits I've got. I don't know if it'll do for me what it's done for other people. I can see it's done for them. How could I ever know? Try it. Come and put your trust in Jesus. Trust only in him. It's not Jesus plus something else. I don't know if any of you saw the fellow who was murdered there last week, a teacher, maths teacher from Crumlin. He was at church last Sunday, or Sunday before last. Came home from church and a guy murdered him in the house. They lifted a young fellow, 33 years of age. The guy taught in Antrim Grammar. And the fellow taking his funeral was a fellow called Leslie Addis. And he had taught him. And they had this all in the Belfast Telegraph, and I just thought it was really good. He said, listen, can I give it to you in an equation? This guy had taught him maths. He said, Jesus plus nothing equals eternal life. Jesus plus nothing equals eternal life. Religion will have all the pluses to it. It's Jesus plus or church plus and all those plus. The true equation is Jesus plus nothing equals eternal life. And folks, that's what I put to you this morning. To put your trust in Jesus. And if I came to you and said, listen, do you know that you're going to heaven? If you were to go to heaven and Jesus said, why should I let you in? That your answer would be, because I've put my trust in Jesus who died for me. If your answer is anything on top of that, because I go to church, because I'm decent, I'm a good this or that or the other, because I've done this. Folks, that is not the correct answer. If you're relying on those things, you will not see heaven. Jesus says, unless a man is born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. So folks, that's something I really do hope that every single one of you come to see. That you put your trust in Jesus and him alone. Let's just pray together. Father, we want to thank you that you have died for us. We want to thank you that you've left us these examples. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that snake and a stick which was able to point Nicodemus to recognize Jesus being lifted on a stick. Lord, he was told that if he put his trust in Jesus when he was lifted up, that, Father, he would have eternal life. And, Father, we are saved in exactly the same way. We become followers of you by simply putting our trust in Jesus. Lord, there's not one of us here this today can say that we are good people from a biblical standpoint. The Bible says there is no one good, not even one. Lord, if we're relying on anything other than Jesus, we will not see heaven. Father, we pray that each one here today will know this spiritual rebirth, to come and put our trust in Christ and to trust in him alone. We ask these things in his name. Amen.